The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U-Mobile.
Incorporated in 1995, Kajaya Prospect has been a contractor with a client list that includes industry leaders such as the E&O Group, SP Satya, and IOI. Since 2015, they've also moved into property development. Good morning, I'm Brian Fernandez, and with me is Dato' T. Eng Ho, Executive Chairman of Kajaya Prospect Group Berhad. He's here to give us insights into his business, especially its spectacular growth in recent years. Welcome to the Breakfast Grill, Dato' T.
Good morning.
Dato' T, thank you for being with us. You started out as a contractor and property development was added in 2015. What's your revenue mix currently between construction and property development?
My construction revenue about 80%. My property side about 10%. A few more percent from the manufacturing for the kitchen, cabinet, wardrobe and lighting.
Let's look at your financial performance, Dato' T. You've seen a quantum leap in your revenues and profits in the last couple of years. In 2015, you posted a net profit of 16 million ringgit on revenues of 79 million ringgit. 2016, you posted a net profit of just under 100 million ringgit on revenues of 799 million ringgit. So literally a tenfold increase. These are impressive numbers, but of course, partially contributed to the fact that it's a timing of revenue recognition. But what's contributed really to the huge jump in your overall numbers?
In 2005, the time still under Futuretek Berhad. That one purely, we are purely manufacturing and only small part of the construction. On 2016, our group inject the Kajaya Prospect M Sandar Berhad to the Pemantang Bakti to the Futuretek Berhad, and we change the name to be Kajaya Prospect Group Berhad. The main jump on the revenue is mainly from the Kajaya Prospect M Sandar Berhad. There's a construction division on the Berhad side. The revenue of the Kajaya Prospect M Sandar Berhad, this construction division, contribute 80% of the group turnover.
Dato, the market likes your company. So obviously, your market capitalization has grown from 150 million ringgit in 2015 to well over 2 billion ringgit today. Now, what have been the key success factors in your recent rise? After all, this is a 23-year-old business. You've been in this business for 30 years, but your last few years, your growth has been spectacular. What are your key success factors?
Actually, for the Kajaya Prospect M, the construction division, we start our IBS system since 2010. This was about 8 years back.
So you are one of the pioneers in IBS in Malaysia then?
Correct. We are one of the pioneers. But initial part, the first 3 years, we are very painful. We made a lot of mistakes here and there.
Okay, share with us, what sort of mistakes?
They mean we start using the aluminum Bomberg system, some of the drawing side, our manpower, our design team is not ready. Even our worker, the supplier, they are not so good in the IBS system. So we make quite a lot of mistakes. We say learning fees, tuition fees.
Tuition fees.
But after 2004, our system quite matured. That's why I go all the way out in IBS system now. Up to today, I think we invest about 130 or 140 million in IBS system.
I see. So because of that, that allows you to be very efficient. Now, Dato, you're one of the few construction companies listed on Bursa Malaysia that is in a net cash position, despite all the projects that you're undertaking. My research also indicates that your overhead costs are only just over 3% of your revenue compared to your peers, which normally range between 5 to 8% of revenues. Why are you able to control your costs so efficiently?
Our team is follow us quite some time. Maybe we pay ourselves too low.
Well, you shouldn't tell your employees that. If you pay yourself low, that's okay.
Okay. We pay our employee quite reasonable, but we are doing a multiple level thing. Our people is quite efficient, very efficient.
How about financing costs? Because you're in a cash position, does that also obviously help you because you don't have to finance some of your projects?
Definitely. So when other contractors, they may pay finance costs to the bank, we gain revenue or interest earning. And we pay our supplier and the subcontractor very early. Some even pay them in advance. So
I
we
see.
Can
so
get better pricing.
In the first week of January, you propose to undertake a bonus issue of shares in your company on a basis of 6 bonus shares for 5 existing shares. Now, was the primary motivation for that, Dato, to improve trading liquidity in your stock, or is it a desire to reward your shareholders?
Both.
Both?
We thought both.
Okay.
Yeah. Good for everybody.
Good for everybody. Now, in construction itself, what is your value proposition compared to your competitors? There are plenty of jobs to go around, but there's also a lot of competition.
We always talk about the value engineering and do something better for our developer. So we don't really go in to be very, not very expensive, but not very cheap, reasonable pricing. But NRA, how to enhance value for our developer. For example, our workmanship, you talk quality with the building, we achieve for the Conquest more than 80 over mark.
Oh, 80 over.
80, more than 80 mark. This is among top in the country.
So who do you see then as your, generally the main competitors that you face when you go out for your projects?
For us, we are mainly on high-rise building. I think a lot in the market, they are not only high-rise, they do a lot other things.
Okay.
But infra and development and others. Because our prospect, 80% is on construction. We can say almost pure construction company. And mainly in high-rise building.
So your competitive advantage in the high-rise buildings, but here is where also you have a lot of competition now from overseas contractors or construction companies like those from China, and they have some advantages and they are also very aggressive. Can you share with me some insights about competing with them?
To me, when they go on tender with even China contractor, and to us, you talk of pricing, I think anytime, this is 3 years ago, they may be cheap, but not really today. Today, anytime we can compete with them. Maybe initially when they come in time, they don't know how Malaysia costing.
Okay.
Now they know exactly how they work here, the costing. Today, I don't think they are that cheap anymore.
So is it because in the beginning when they came in, they literally, A, were not sure of the market, B, they were also dumping?
They may want to penetrate to the market.
So tell us a little bit about your property development business. Now, you started in 2015, and your first project was basically a project called the Vista in Genting.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit more about that and what's your strategy for the property business since it's now a relatively small part of your business?
Vista Residency, we do it quite successfully, frankly speaking. That piece of land only 1.4 acre. GDP are close to 300 million. Today, I think the take-up rate more than 70, close to 80%. We are doing fully furnished. The buyer is mainly from Malaysian, mainly Klang Valley side. So far, quite a good job. A lot of people like it, especially premium outlet open.
So you see that there seems to be more interest in the Genting area in terms of development. You're not the only developer there. You have people like LBS, Bena also, I think that's going into Genting Highlands. Why is the sudden increase in developers going into Genting?
I think maybe because premium and Fortune Century coming up. But when I bought the piece of land at the time, it's before even the premium outlet and Fortune Century announced.
I see.
We are the pioneer. We bought the land quite cheap, only 8 million.
I see. So with such a high GDV, then so your land cost is next to
less
nothing.
Less than 3%.
So as compared to the normal developer, we'll be looking at 20%, right, for land costs?
I think normal about 10 to 15.
10 to 15, okay. So, Dato, now, what's your strategy in terms of your property development business moving forward? Where are you looking to add to your land bank, for example?
For Berhad side, Kajai Prospect Group Berhad, I think I want to position him to concentrate on the construction side. You know, private side, I got quite a lot of property development side. I try to avoid all the conflict.
So you've kept that separately. So you've got, on your private side of the business, I understand from my research, you have, for example, a property development project in the Shore, which is in Malacca. You also have in Old Klang Road called Resident V, for example. So that's all your separate private business.
Correct. They want under, I put it under private side. We try to avoid all the conflict.
Dato, in your private side of the business, your focus seems to be, for example, the Resident V project is in the affordable housing segment. Now, your unit sizes are only 645 to about 909 square feet in Old Klang Road.
Yes.
It's very high density, so it's only just over 2 acres, but then there's about 412 units in that development.
All right.
You have a lot of competition. So I drove, as part of the research for this grill, I drove around the Old Klang Road area. So you have a lot of developers who are competing in that space. Everyone from Exim, who is also like you, contractor turned developer. You've got Binastra Land, you've got Asat Kaya Mas, lots of units in that area. So what is your value proposition? How do you compete?
We recently, when we launched our time, I think our neighbour, we are selling about 700 ringgit per square feet, less than 700 ringgit per square feet during launching. This is about 3 years ago. Our neighbour sell, I think, less than 600 ringgit. But within 3 months, I think we sold about 80 or close to 90%.
Okay, why?
We actually at the house, see what we put in.
Okay.
Our design, our lifestyle, and the unit size and layout.
One of the reasons you were able to do that is your unit size are smaller, so the quantum is smaller, but perhaps then you, for example, your 3-bedroom units are only 909 square foot.
True. And we put in aircon, wardrobe, kitchen cabinet, the set, and good and very good quality of the material in the unit, and a good layout. And we plan out nicely almost every single inch used.
I'm Brian Fernandez, and I'm speaking to Datuk T. Eng Ho, Executive Chairman of Kerjaya Prospect Group. In just a bit, I'll ask Datuk T. about his view on the property market and about his company's growth strategies moving forward. Stay with us, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning, we are with Datuk T. Eng Ho, Executive Chairman, Kerjaya Prospect Group. Dato, let's take a more macro view now and get your insights into the overall market. Now, you mentioned before you were very early in the IBS space, so you're known as a very efficient player in the market. The government is pushing contractors and developers to adopt IBS. Is that realistic, especially in the short run, where for some contractors, the costs are actually higher by 10 to 15%? Because of issues such as logistics costs, lack of economies of scale, also lack of standardization of modules. What's your take on this?
For Kerjaya Prospect, definitely we are ready. We got no issue at all. When government implement this, I think quite a lot of small contractor or financially they are not strong, they may face out in the market.
So that augurs well for people like you who have invested, as you said, since 2010, I believe.
Yeah.
And you are now gone up the learning curve and the efficiency curve.
True.
So what do you think that the government can do to help the industry overall reduce costs and be more efficient? Some of the criticisms that we have from other developers include the fact that a lot of infrastructure costs are now pushed towards the developers.
True. Quite a lot of stage even ask a developer to do the road and other thing.
Yeah, so
but I guess I don't know how government going to be help out all the small contractor lah.
So Dato, what is your view on the overall property market, especially currently since there's an oversupply situation? There's also going to be an issue this year where interest rates are going to be rising. There is telegraphed move by the Federal Reserve in the US that there's going to be at least 3 rate hikes. So essentially, Malaysia will have to follow suit as well. So what's your take on the industry overall?
I think this year, still a challenging year. It's not easy for everybody. But it's, as far as the developer do the right product, the right location, I think should be all right. This thing can sell.
Where are the segments of the industry do you think that, as you said, right product and right segment?
Yeah, you can't really fix the price. This in KL, Klang Valley, even sell the house is as well right location, good product. I think even $500,000 to $1 million can be sold easily. But outskirts a bit difficult. Depend on location and the pricing and what sort of thing they put in the market. Certain areas they may like landed. But Klang Valley, they're going to be quite difficult for them to put landed in or high-rise building.
So, Dato, because you have a private side which is in property development as well, you also have an issue with buyers having challenges getting financing. What's your view on this?
unless bank are going to be more lenient on the give out the loan, the only way can help out all the buyer.
Now, Dato, you have grown very rapidly in the last couple of years, but how sustainable is this growth? What are you going to do in terms of a strategy to continue growing at the pace that you're going?
You talk about the construction sector?
Yes.
On my hard side, I think we can. We keep investing in the plant equipment, IBA system, and even our tower crane, piling equipment. I think we are the more important, we make sure we are more and more efficient. We cannot be happy what we achieved today. We think how to cut down the cost so we can more competitive. We can compete with anybody. Then the other one is quite important is our workmanship, quality of the product. Today, all the buyer is very demanding. Every asking for a very good quality. So far, we are all right. We achieved even the conquest of Singapore relation. We are achieved 80 over mark.
So you're focusing on quality as well,
yes.
Not just quantity. So your order book as of September last year is, and those are the figures that I have, is just over 3 billion ringgit.
Outstanding order book.
Outstanding order book.
November should be 3.2 billion.
3.2 billion. So how long will that sustain you?
For next 3 years.
For the next 3 years.
You've got no issue.
And what is your pipeline looking like in terms
this
of orders?
This year, our internal target, we're talking about at least more than, at least a billion new order book.
A billion or new order billion. Book. Dato, of all of this, this seems to be very Malaysia-focused. Are you looking at overseas expansion as part of your next stage of growth?
If I go overseas, I'm looking for partnership or M&A. We don't go ourselves. A bit too risky.
Okay, in terms of M&As then, which sort of markets are you looking at?
We still concentrate, if got any opportunity, on a high-rise building. Our expertise is on high-rise building.
Are you looking at any local M&As?
It's good opportunity. Why not? We got cash.
And how about your land bank itself within your private business?
Land bank, I'll put in a private side. I don't put on a Bahad side.
Okay, so where are you looking to acquire new land?
More in Klang Valley. More in Klang Valley because I like high-rise building. Only Klang Valley got demand on high-rise building.
Dato, what do you see as the potential challenges for your business in the next couple of years? You've got a strong order book right now. Like you said, you can last you for the next 3 years.
Sure.
But where do you see the challenges to the industry? Construction is a very cyclical business.
So even the market sharing, we need to get more market share. The only way.
More market share?
Yes.
So how do you plan to do that? What's the strategy?
You see, land costs keep going up. When land costs keep going up in Klang Valley, definitely building will be built higher and higher. More and more high-rise building coming up. This is what Kejaya Prospect is strong at.
Okay, so that's your value proposition. That's where you're going to be heading.
Yes, for the next 2-3 years.
What are your targets for for the group, the listed entity, over the next 3 years?
We're still talking about double-digit growth for the next 3 years, at least, in terms of revenue and profit.
Dato, in terms of your M&A potential, are you potentially, because you have quite a sizable private business, that's in property development. Are you looking at perhaps merging or acquiring that particular business into the listed entity?
No.
Why not? Because after all, your margins will then improve.
I mean, talking to all our investors and our shareholders, I say I will put the property and construction side will be two separate entities.
Okay, so you have no interest in doing that. What's the reason for that?
If the development side, the property side, where I may do other by itself, do under the other PLC lah.
I see. So you would probably list that separately
if the opportunity occur.
Dato T, it was a pleasure having you on the Breakfast Grill. That was Dato T Eng Ho, Executive Chairman of Kejaya Prospect Group, and you are with BFM 89.9, the Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.